This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. The weather's wonderful. Everything's going to be okay.
We're into that pattern now. I think we're all kind of looking forward to, because we're in that place now. School is back. So now we're all looking forward to fall and then even Christmas time and then the holidays. And so before you know it, it'll be here.
You're going a little fast for me. You're already talking about Christmas. You and Hallmark are together on this. Have you seen that crazy Hallmark lately?
Oh, yeah.
They're doing Christmas shows.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want Christmas yet.
I think we watched every single one of them 4 or 5 times.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I wanted to wait till December to do that.
Oh, no. I love Christmas in July.
Oh, my gosh, and I didn't. I said, it's too early for me. I mean, the lights, the candles, they were decorating the tree, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this. It's early.
Yeah. Well, but, we're going to have to because we're almost to Labor Day.
My goodness. Yeah, we are. It is almost Labor Day.
Yeah.
So we've got that to look forward to.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the unofficial end to summer. And so once you get into that place, your brain just goes to the holidays. You start planning out Thanksgiving and, you know, all the holiday get-togethers. My brain's already there. I'm ready to go.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're already ready, are you going to go out and shoot your own turkey?
If
you've got time.
I might.
Now, that would be interesting. We'd like to hear about it.
I may shoot somebody else's turkey. Who knows?
Oh, no. Do you remember that old movie? And I can't tell you the name of it right now. Doris Day was the star in it. I can't remember who all the other characters. But the little boy had a turkey, and his dad said, take it down to the butcher shop. We're going to have it for Thanksgiving. The little boy goes out, and he knows that the neighbor who owns the bank has a turkey. He switched them out. He put his turkey over there. And they're at the dinner table, and everybody's talking about how good the turkey is. And his dad says, my little boy Wesley is so fine and so wonderful, so truthful. The little boy gets up and is crawling across the floor. He knows somehow it's just fixing the head. And, of course, it did. And everybody... And his turkey escapes and comes flying in the dining room. Well, it's over. Everybody knows that's his turkey. And he is not dead, and they didn't eat him. Oh, my gosh, it's funny. Oh, the little boy is taken upstairs, and the mother tells her husband, now, you were a little boy once. He said, I never did anything like this. And he's got his belt. And, man, she is talking hard and fast, you know. You can't whip him for this. You know, the little boy didn't mean anything. Finally, the dad comes down off the roof, you know, and, of course, the little boy doesn't get a spanking for it.
Oh, of course not.
And it was hilarious. Right. Oh, my gosh. He's afraid he's going to lose his job at the bank over it.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that dadgum bird flying in there was one of the funniest things I ever saw.
That's back when they made movies like like a certain kind of movie. Now it's all the special effects and all the whiz-bang stuff. That was good old-fashioned Hollywood old-school movies back then.
Yes, and it was the lady, the mother, was the lady that used to do Ivory Soap.
Yes,
remember?
Yes.
That's who it was. It was the lady that did Ivory Soap, and I all of a sudden forgot her name. But I remember those soap ads so good, Ivory Soap, and she'd hold it up in her hand.
Was it Doris Day?
No. Doris Day was the young daughter in the movie. And this lady was about 45 by then.
Hmm. I can't think of her name.
But she was so good in it and played the part of the mother just beautifully.
Brilliant.
And And it was a musical also, because Doris Day had several songs in it.
Yeah.
And it was probably, I'd say, in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the period they played it, but it was so funny.
Love those old school movies. Those are good.
They were so much better than today's movies. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
They really were.
It was Rosemary DeCamp.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right,
Rosemary DeCamp.
The mama.
The mama. I knew it'd come back.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, you never forget it if you've ever known it.
Yeah.
Well, do you think maybe we should give out the phone number?
I should. What is your number over there?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're next door to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
Your favorite place on the whole world.
That's right. And we've been here a long time. Have you thought about that?
How long have you been over there?
We started in 08 out here in Midland, Texas.
Really?
And this is 18. How about that?
Wow.
We've been here that long.
And it is a long time.
It is a long time. And our show started, I think it started the second year.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have a show the first year.
So you've been doing the show for almost as long as you've been out here.
Yeah, we started, I think, and I may be wrong, I was thinking it was the second year. And we started advertising, and I don't remember what year the ad started. But we've had been on the radio, you know, all these years.
Wow.
Never missed a radio. I mean, we've always been on.
I had no idea it had been going on that long.
It's been a long time. I know people's children that were little that are now, you know, 13 years old.
There were infant babies that are now graduating college.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, we don't want to talk about age. But
No.
You know, and we are moving right along.
In that time frame since you first started, man, you've seen a lot of ups and downs in the economy and the landscape of you know, employment and everything out here in West Texas. And so I'm sure you've seen your fair share of good times and bad times. And right now we are in a really good time.
Well, and you know, when we started on the radio, we only did annuities and life insurance. That's how far back this goes.
Really?
Yeah. Our company started like in 2000, maybe 3. American Financial started that far back, and we did annuities, we did life insurance. We didn't even know about life settlements. We didn't even know that people could sell their life insurance policy. That's how far back we go.
Wow, and you've turned it into like an empire.
And our office in Dallas has only been in two places on the same road since 2003.
Really?
We've been on that road. And, of course, we use the address on the front on the toll road. But the street behind us is Addison Road. And we have actually been on Addison Road since 2003. The first building, we were there several years, but we've been in this other location all of these years.
Wow, so you've been really consistent, real stable.
Yeah, we don't like change, you can tell that. We've never moved off of the toll road. It's very convenient. We face the toll road. I guess I'll have to change the name of it. It was always called Northern Trust Building because Northern Trust Bank has been there all these years. They have just moved. And a new bank is coming into the building.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know now if it'll still be called Northern Trust Bank Building or not. But it's an 8-story building. We've been in all these years.
It should be called the American Financial Building.
Why don't I proposition them?
I think you should. Make it be known.
That's right. And, you know, we've been on that second floor almost from the time we came there.
Really?
Yes. When we first moved in, we were on the first floor, and it wasn't big enough. And so I talked to the building people, and they were giving me heck. And they said, well, we think we have that second floor spot leased. And I kept saying, no, I want that second floor spot. And they said, well, this guy's offering us more money and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, just keep in mind, we're right here in the building. We're just simply going to come up there and take over that spot and pay you more money. And we'll do it, you know, this week. We'll sign the new lease. And, you know, as it turned out, those people couldn't perform. We could perform. And, you know, we signed a new lease, and we've been there ever since.
Good deal.
And then, being the smart business person I am, and I shouldn't brag, but I thought about it. I said, you know, what if we wanted to retire in 10 years? You know? I mean, this is a long-term lease. He said, finally, he agreed with me. He said, I'll put a clause in there that if you want to retire, you can get out of the lease. How many people can get that done?
Well, that's pretty cool because they don't usually budge on those things.
No, usually you're going to pay for the 20 years or 15 years or whatever it is, and there is no out, folks. It will cost you. You'll have to pay the rest of those years. And I got them to agree that if I ever wanted to retire, I can walk the lease.
Wow.
How about that?
That is brilliant. I think maybe you should open up a school of how to do hard business.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've went through, like you said, we could write a book. All the things that's happened to us in all these years.
Man, that is just fantastic. Because I mean, seriously, they don't negotiate terms like that. It's like you're in or you're out. If you don't want in, we'll go find somebody else who wants to deal with our terms, and that's it. It's final.
That's exactly right. And they write it because they're a huge company.
Yeah.
You know, and that was owned by the Folsom Company. Folsom used to be mayor of Dallas. He was a brilliant man. Owned lots and lots of real estate. And when he built this building, he put all of his really, really fine Western art in the building.
Really?
So it's got all these original arts by, like, Schroeder. I mean, fine art that cost a fortune. And a lot of people wouldn't let their fine art be in an office building.
Yeah, really? Wow.
But he put it in the hallways, you know, a lot of different places where you can see it and let everybody enjoy it, okay?
So he took care of really everything.
Yes, he did. He was a very smart businessman.
The decor to everything else.
Yes, he did. So it's it's a really, really nice office building. It's not just your typical old building.
Wow.
And it has an eighth room in the middle, you know, where people can look over the balconies on each floor.
Wow, how nice.
Yeah. So it's just thinking back on all that. You know, you think back and you go, you know, we're in a really nice place.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned putting in the retirement clause. You're not retiring anytime soon, right?
No, but I thought how funny it'd be to have that in there. I thought, you know, I've got them on the run, you know. And, the word was out. When was it? 2 months ago, somebody said, Faye has retired. And I go, well, she has. I hadn't heard about it. I definitely wanted to hear about it, right?
Well, yeah, because I know we had talked about it a couple months ago, and now here it comes up again, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's how rumors get started.
I hadn't even thought about that if I hadn't been thinking about the office building and all the different things in life, you know, like when you started out, how long you've been in business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just for the record, Faye is not retiring.
No, I'm not, and when I do, remember, I will always tell you in advance that I've got the young people coming from Dallas, and they will be taking over. But let's don't let them do it anytime soon.
Oh,
folks.
No. That's
now,
not
let's
anywhere.
Let's don't let that happen. Yeah, I mean, I think you need the older, more mature people right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need the young college-trained people right now.
No. You need to get things going on the well-established path that they are right now.
That's right. And, always remember, everything we do is at the bank. I don't ever touch your money. The checks don't come to me. We're not like a lot of the other companies, you know, that they handle your money. It goes to them. If anything goes wrong, you know, you could be in jeopardy. So we don't do that. And we're not like the mutual fund companies. You know, the mutual fund company that can outbid us every day of the week out of Austin, what they do, they only give their clients 8%. Doesn't matter how cheap they bought those policies. They pay them 8%.
Wow.
And they get by with it. We can't do that. You know, we pay 1% a month, and if you've got a 24-month policy, you're going to get 24%. It doesn't matter if it's early, if it's late, or if it comes in on time. It's in your contract, 24%. And so, you know, different companies do it different. But that lets the mutual company make 30 or 40%, you know? And we can't do that. Ours is way, way tight as to what we can make. But we're thankful for it, and we're thankful for our clients, so we do it that way.
So you're not ripping people off is what people need to know.
That's right. We don't do that.
Good.
But a mutual company can do it. And when I found out how they did this, I'm going, how do they get people to do it? And they said, because it's safer for them than being in the market. They can do this, and it's safe. They just don't make very much money, but they make some, and they're tickled to death. So that's just life.
Wow.
But, yeah. So
so this is almost like the best of all worlds.
Well, to me it is, because you know what you're going to make in advance. The life insurance company, when they pay off, are going to pay the face amount. They're paying you the face amount. They're not going to ask you to discount it. They're not going to say, well, you know, we think we'd like to give you 50%. They're not going to do that. They pay whatever that individual that was insured, they pay them the face amount. And when we buy a policy, we give that person lump sum right then. You know, after we read it, we read their information on how long they've had cancer, how bad it is. And when we decide to buy it, we're going to give them a lump sum, and then they can pay their medical bills. They can pay for their estate and settle it now and give them the money out of the life insurance or whatever way they want to go. We had a lady this month, and the provider just called me and read me the letter yesterday. This lady has cancer. She works for the state of New York, you know, New York State. And she needs the money. She doesn't make a lot of money. And she wanted a copy of the contract. Well, we gave it to her and said, okay, you know, look at this, and if you're happy, well, you know, we'd be glad to do it. Well, she doesn't realize that all of this, every state, has requirements. And so the contract is exactly what the authorities require. She took it to her attorney. He said, oh, no, you can't do that. You need to leave that money for your children. She doesn't have enough to pay for her cancer treatments. I couldn't believe a guy would have told her that.
Why would he tell her that?
I don't know why. I don't live in New York, and I know they're tough up there, and I know they do things a lot different than we do. But to tell a lady with cancer, you just have to struggle through it. You need to leave that money to your children. The children need to see that their mother is taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, she needs that for her treatments.
Yeah, she isn't a rich lady. I mean, you don't make much when you work with the state. I don't care which state it is. And so it's not fair. It's not right. And I really felt bad about it, but that's what they told her. Oh, no, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Wow.
So the lady will not be selling her policy.
So that is definitely not having their client's best interest.
No, it wasn't. No, I've never had a lawyer tell someone that really needed the money and needed the cancer treatment, well, no, you can't do that. You just got to leave that money for your children. And I know if her children knew that, they would say, Mother, you go ahead and sell it, get the treatment now, and take care of yourself rather than and going to leave it for us, and you're going to owe hundreds of thousands probably
and
not be able to pay it. You know, that's not right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... so you never know the greed or what people are thinking, do you?
No, that's just taking advantage of people.
It's taking advantage of a lady, I'm going to say. You know, she doesn't have a husband. Or the husband, I'm sure, would have protected her and said, no, you know, we need to sell the policy and get you the treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
But not a lawyer. Oh, no, the lawyer said, oh, no, you can't do that.
Wow.
So you never know. When we buy policies, we never know the inner workings of the family. You know, we've had people at the last minute back out of policies. We've had people die just right after we issued their check. And, you know, we got the check back, and it went back to the client's account. So anything can happen. But most usually, if everything is hitting right, you know, we give them their money. When the person, when the policy matures, the person passes away, our clients get paid. And, you know, they make, usually if it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's a 30-month policy, they make 30%. And, you know, part of the policies are going to come in on time. A lot of them this year have been early. Then we've got some that are late, and that happens in everything we do. Nothing is perfect. They're not all going to be on time. They're not all going to be early. So, you know, it's a percentage. You have to figure it out. But they are making good money. You know, I tell the story all the time, the person that has had 20 maturities.
Wow.
And they've got six that are over. But, you know, if you've only got six that are over, you've got 20 that matured, that's really good odds.
Those are really good odds. And that's really, it shows the effectiveness of how the overall plan works. Because nobody gets into this to do one investment and then boom, you're done. It's about the whole plan. It's about the long-term strategy.
That's exactly right. And everybody has to have a long-term strategy. If it's a five-year strategy, a 10, or if it's 3 years, it doesn't matter. You've got to figure out how much we're going to need. When can I retire? Can I retire early? Do I have enough? Do I have to keep working to 70? You know, it happens to people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes. Sometimes they have to work longer because they didn't get started soon enough, you know, to make enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got people that are right on, we've got a lot of people that are right on target. They're working, they're happy, they're making money, they're getting that interest, you know, piled up for later. And that's what they need to do. You need to make sure that you've got all this interest that you're going to be able to take out and live on when you retire and not get into your principal. Nobody wants to get in their principal. If you do, it's not going to last very long. You know, you may have a 10-year strategy instead of a 25.
What?
So, you know, we're looking for everybody to have that 25 or 30 years, you know, that you're going to need.
It's all about making sure that it's set up the right way and then making sure you've got enough, you know, coming in to replace what you use, because it's like a well-oiled machine that keeps running. You don't ever just stop and it just stay stagnant, because then you're just hemorrhaging money and eventually you'll run out. So the goal is to have enough to live on, still have enough to reinvest so that you're still making money, replacing it. It's always got to be moving.
That's right. If it's not moving, you're not making money. So people that have put off and procrastinate, you know, they shouldn't be procrastinating. It's not to my welfare. It's to theirs, you know. So, you know, I tell them every day, you know, quit procrastinating. Come talk to us. If it works out, if it fits for you, do it. If it doesn't, it didn't cost anything. It was free, you know. So I always tell people, let's talk it over. Let's see how much you've actually got at this point in your life that you could invest to make more money. You know, if you've got $50,000, that won't work. You know, you're a long way. But, you know, if you've got $100,000 and $150,000, you can get started. You've got to have at least $100,000 to even get started. And you have to be accredited. You have to be worth either $1 million with all your stocks, your bonds, your ranch, your rent property, whatever, without your regular home, or you've got to make $200,000 a year. And with your bonuses, you're probably making $275,000 or $300,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have to get started. The longer you procrastinate, the less you're going to have when it comes to retirement. And if your retirement's 5 years off, you've got to get kicking right now. You don't have time to just be sitting there procrastinating and thinking, oh, well, I'll do it later. And later turns into a year and another year sometimes.
Well, and the way that the economy is and the wages that people are making and the bonuses that are being paid right now, I mean, this is a great time, because all of a sudden a lot of people are finding themselves with a lot of extra money. And so, yeah, go ahead and, you know, have some fun with it. You don't have to be all business. But at some point, you've got to take at least some of that and get started. Put some of it away. You've got to start growing that money so that you have that nest egg, so that when you do retire, you've got something there to work with. And with the economy the way it is, this is the time to take all that, make hay while the sun is shining.
That's right, because I don't think anybody will ever have to look back out here. I mean, you know, this is a 40 and 50-year plan on all this shale. And, you know, so people are going to have money, I think, forever, unless they just screw it up. You know, I mean, and it's hard to screw up out here because the money is here. People who never thought they'd make this kind of money are making a lot of money. The people that are going and driving the trucks, the 18-wheelers, to get the sand, you know, they're making over $100,000 just driving an 18-wheeler back and forth.
Yeah.
So, You know, everybody has got a good job. They're paying them a lot. They, you know, the restaurants don't have any help. The city doesn't have any help. Nobody has any help. All because everybody is doing so good. They've all left for the oil field, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now all the guys have got a new pickup. Have you noticed that?
I have. There's a lot of shiny new pickups riding around.
Lots of shiny new pickups. And, you know, 2 years ago, that's not the case. You know, because times were really bad. Everybody was hurting. They all survived it, thank goodness. But they had to change jobs. A lot of people were let go, and they had to go get with another company. But they made it through the hard times. Now is the good times, and now is the time to say, okay, how much can I take out of that old? Because all of them changed jobs. They've got the old 401ks. So they can now bring that over to us. We'll put it to work and you know, get them started making some money for retirement. And their new 401k may be too new to do that. But then we've got the guys that's still with the pump companies, the different companies. They've been there 30 years. They can now they can take it out. They can put it with us. And most of them do not have to wait till they retire.
So what about somebody who's just now, say maybe they're just now moving into the area, they're just kind of getting things started now. What should somebody like that do? Say maybe they're like 30 or 40-ish, and they're making good money. What should somebody like that do? Maybe they don't have like $100,000 put away because they've been, you know, out having a good time, blowing a lot of money, but they were at that place where, okay, I need to get serious. And so what should somebody in that type of situation be doing?
Well, now, if they've only got $50,000, they're going to have to go to the annuities. And their annuities are good. They're solid. They've been around 140 years. And they can start with an annuity and put money in it every year till they get enough that they can either switch or take their 401k and use it with us and leave the annuity alone. You know, you can do it either way. But most of the people, if they're coming into town, we had this happen back in 2013, 2014, when people were really making a lot of money. They were coming to us from North Carolina, South Carolina, all from the East. And they came to me and said, look, the company we were with required us, you know, to take our 401k out. We'd like to send that over here to you. We're coming to Midland to live, and we've sold our house in North Carolina. We took all those different avenues and put it into an IRA for them, and now, you know, they're getting all that money off their IRA. So lots of times when they come to town, they're 45 years old, they have an old 401k. They have the one from where they're coming. Sometimes they're coming from Oklahoma City. We've had a lot of companies that have companies there, and they're setting up new companies here in Midland also. So those will be wanting to move with us. So there's a lot of money being moved around right now.
So besides a 401k, what other assets should people start looking at that they can find?
Well, a lot of people had rent houses. Now, the rent houses are worth a lot more today than they were 2 years ago. If you really don't want to have rent houses, that's another thing. Sell all the rent houses, take all the profit, and put it in a policy. You know, it's a good idea. Or if you want to take just the income, if you have enough income off of them, if you've got like $50,000 income there, you've got another $150,000 in the bank, put it all together and start a retirement program. People have income from so many sources. Lots of times we have to look at all the sources and see, you know, where all their money is coming from. If you've got oil right now, and we know a lot of customers of ours do, okay, you've got $50,000 a month in oil income, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can bring, you know, 3 months of oil money or 6 months of oil company over and put it into a retirement that'll make some money. And don't take 100% risk in the stock market, you know, because a lot of these people are older. They do not want that risk. We've got a lot of farmers that are with us, and you know, they've taken a lot of their profit out of their farm, put it with us. I've got another lady that has a ranch. She's got a lot of oil on it. In fact, I've got four or five ladies that have got oil money, okay? And all these ladies have put their money with us, and they're doing really good. And, of course, they weren't 2 years ago when the oil went down. But now it's back up. They're probably making, 60 or 70,000 a month. Yeah.
And it's going to stay like that, would you say, for like 40 years, forever, really?
I think they've got a 40-year plan. The oil companies would not have just spent $4 billion out here.
Wow.
$4 billion. They're buying everything in the world. And it's because they're buying up all of those leases between here and Lubbock. They're expanding their plants out here. You know, they don't have enough pipelines out here to get the oil to the coast. You know that, because I think there's only two pipelines. So there's lots of things that are needed that they're going to be spending money for. The other thing is they're building office buildings out here now.
Oh, yeah, they're going up like crazy.
They're going up like crazy. I would have never thought these companies out of Houston, all these other states that are big, there's some out of New York that are coming here, Oklahoma, and they're all putting them in, you know, like a 6 or 8 story building.
Yeah.
So that tells you they're serious for the next 40 years, or they would not be putting a big office building in. They would leave those little small buildings that they've got here.
You know, I know we don't get into real estate very often, but what do you say? What about the person who maybe does not have rental property? They just have their own house that they live in. Is this a good time maybe to sell the house? Now, keep in mind, they have to turn around and buy a new place, but is this a good time to sell the house and take that and invest?
The next house is going to cost as much or more.
Mm.
Remember, everything's up. You sell your house, you're going to have to buy another expensive house. I would never do that.
Because I know it's a seller's market right now, and so people,
I know,
they're seeing that.
Unless
profit.
You're leaving town, don't do it. Okay. Now, if you're fixing to retire this year or next year, just right away, yeah, go ahead and take all that profit, rent till you leave town, till you get your new property ready.
Yeah.
But don't do it just because the market's up. I don't think that's a good enough reason, because you're going to have to buy another one that costs just as much or more.
Yeah.
So that's a crazy idea.
Okay, because I know people have said, oh, man, we're going to sell our house, we're going to make all this money, not necessarily thinking about, you know, the next step, you have to buy another one, and logic tells me, well, I'm not sure if your profit is going to get, you know, eaten up, and then you'll end up being in a worse position than you're in now, so that's not a good idea.
Remember, your house is probably paid for.
Yeah.
So just hang on. If you're going to retire in 2 years, and you think the market won't be as high in 2 years, go ahead and sell it, and rent back that house or another one for the next 2 years till you leave. But if you can go ahead and buy the other house, let's say it's in Granbury or Weatherford or East Texas at one of the lakes, if you think it's going to be the best you can ever get, go ahead and sell it. Go ahead and move the wife on down there if that's what you think is best.
Yeah. Of course, every situation is different, so you know you can't just make a blanket generic statement about anybody. Everybody's case is unique to themselves.
Well, and let me tell you another story. These people that have done this reverse mortgage, unless you're desperate and really that poor, you should not do it. You know, I've always been against it. I'm still against it. Unless, like I say, if you have nothing but Social Security, yes, do it. Okay, it's fine. Just go ahead and do it. But if you don't really need it and somebody's just talking to you about it, I've just heard the first one of those that they lost their home.
Really?
Yeah. So you have to pay the taxes on it. And right now taxes are high out here, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, $15,000-$16,000 for a normal house. And I just heard of this couple who actually lost their house on that because they had so much other going, they forgot you have to pay the taxes, you've got all this other to do, and it was a big house and it had a swimming pool, and the father has died now, and the son has come in, found this out, all about all this stuff they'd done, crazy stuff, and so he's bought the house back, you know. But isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I mean, that is absolutely asinine, as I always say. To let something like that happen to you. And people do not need it. They're just thinking, well, that's some extra cash. If you have a retirement income, leave it alone. Don't do something that would hurt you financially like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people see the instant cash. Ooh, I can get some instant money real quick. But they don't always think it through to, you know, the consequences and what's going to happen next. And they don't
think
it through.
That's exactly right. They don't think about what happens after I do this. You know, what are my responsibilities? Can I actually lose the house? Well, see, you don't have to pay the money back. And so they think, oh, this is free money. Well, you've got to be able to pay the $16,000 a year in taxes, or $12,000, or, you know, whatever you owe in taxes.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked, because these people had never told me about it, and they have other investments with me, but I didn't know about the house deal. And they used it for some silly thing they were doing, you know, because I've known them a long time. And I never did know about it, and didn't know what in the heck they did with it. And they didn't always make the best decisions later in life, you know.
Yeah. Wow. So they take that, they do the thing, they get the lump sum, and then they pay the taxes each year, and within 3, 4, 5 years, they could easily be almost wiped out and have no house left at all.
That's what happened. And when they if they were going to do a reverse mortgage, they should have said, we need to escrow for the taxes. You know, I mean, we got all this money, sure, but we need to escrow for the taxes to make sure they're paid, you know.
And they don't do that, and they're just hemorrhaging money at that point.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And they didn't realize they hadn't paid the taxes. They had to be paid, and they were out making investments, doing other things. You know, they had rent houses. Well, the rent houses, the people weren't paying the rent.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And they were just putting it to them, and they couldn't keep up with it. In fact, one house, the people had not paid on it a year and a half.
Really?
A year and a half, and they didn't notice it.
They didn't notice?
They didn't notice the people hadn't paid the rent a year and a half.
How did they not notice?
Well, the bank was taking their payment out of the bank.
Wow.
So they just weren't paying attention, and they weren't good business people, frankly.
Clearly.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, caution. I don't think a reverse mortgage, if you have a retirement, you don't need it and shouldn't do it. Leave it alone.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia, and you always have interesting things to bring to the table. If it's a place to visit, a thing to do, a place to go, Texas history or trivia. So what are we talking about today?
Well, something, again, that you need to visit, something you've got to go do. Did you know that Texas grows lavender?
No. I mean, I know
the lavender flower is big in Texas.
I've seen a few of them around, and I know, I think that's the one where you know that it's going to rain or something, right? Is that the right one, or am I thinking of a different one?
Well, this is a lavender flower. You know, lavender flowers are purple.
Yeah.
And it smells really good, as you know. Everybody uses lavender in everything. Well, the Texas Hill Country is where it's really big. And it usually runs May, July, you know, right into August. And if you start missing blue bonnets, you need to go and get to the lavender fields. And it's because of the alkaline soil. It's dry down there, and that is lavender loves that. Now, Blanco was the first commercial lavender grower in Texas. And now they grow 2,500 plants.
Really?
A year. That is a huge amount of lavender.
Wow.
And then they produce 70 products from lavender.
Really?
You didn't know that you could produce all these different things from lavender.
I couldn't name but maybe one or two.
Yeah. And so you can go and tour the lavender fields, and then a lot of the wineries, they will put that on their tour. And a lot of the things there is lavender. And then they have a lavender festival in Blanco, Texas. You can hear live music. You can browse the Texas Lavender Market. And in Blanco, they have the old Blanco Courthouse grounds. So there's just so many things. And then, since it is lavender country, you can go to Lakeway Resort and Spa. Now, this is what your wife is going to want to hear about. Every wife wants to hear about this. Lakeway is just about an hour from Austin. It's a family-friendly getaway. It's right on Lake Travis. You've got all the beautiful views of the lake. They have lots of ponds and lots of pools. They have one just for kids. They have four pools there.
Really?
On this spa. Oh, yeah. And this is all right there in Lavender Country. They make lavender cocktails.
Really?
Okay? I mean, this is just the start of it. They have, for the ultimate in relaxation, you go to Lakeway, check in. And from there, it's just, it's wonderful. They have not only the 2 ounce vodka made with lemon and lavender and all this, then they have the spa for you and your wife. It's the ultimate. The spa is a 3.5 hour lavender journey.
Oh.
And now, oh yeah. And so you go and have a scrub. You've got a 3.5 hour deal. And so you do the scrub, you do an 80-minute wild lavender oil massage, a lavender manicure, pedicure, everything, and you just flat relax. They've got suites that are just fabulous. You can see everything. You can see the lake. You can see everything. And you've got the wonderful smell of the lavender. They've got so many products made from lavender, and they have them right there at Lakeway Spa.
Wow. I bet after that 3.5 hour deal, you can't even hardly stand up.
No, you're going to have to go take a nap then, you know. I mean, but it is a fabulous journey. And I love lavender. When I go to the spa, I always ask for lavender for them to use on me. So I love the smell of it. And every woman that I know in Texas loves the smell of lavender. So you can buy a lot of products to use on your body for scrub, for just a conditioner on the body. And, as I said, you go there, you have this 3.5 hour scrub, massage, everything.
My goodness. That much lavender, that kind of a scent, that would be so relaxing. You're just being surrounded. It's almost like you become lavender, I would imagine.
You do. I mean, it is wonderful. And that soft smell of that lavender just wafts through there.
Mm-hmm. It is so relaxing.
And it's a wonderful weekend. Now, this is one of my weekend packages for you. You want to take a weekend and do this whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, go to Lakeway Spa. Oh, my gosh, relaxing. You'll forget about all your troubles, everything that might be bothering you, and just think about enjoying this rich, lathering and the massage.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds so wonderful.
It is. And so that's one of my places, the Lavender Fields. I want you to go and enjoy it. This has to be on your bucket list.
My goodness. Yeah, this may even be more than a weekend trip. If you got the time, it may be like 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah, it would be wonderful. The Hill Country is a wonderful place. Blanco's a wonderful place. And then just go to Lakeway and just crash, you know?
Wow.
So it's one of my favorite places, and I've always loved Lakeway. So this is something your wife will just praise you and praise you for doing it. She'll think you're some kind of a genius.
I'll be a hero then.
You will be a hero. Oh, my gosh, yes, you'll be a hero. Brilliant. And all these men that always say, what can I give my wife? A weekend package, let me tell you, or a week package. Just you and the wife. Now, if you've got a lot of kids, you got to take them. Put them in the pool. They've got lots of things for kids to do. If it's not going to be an adult weekend or an adult week, take the kids. Just go through it. Speaking of children, I met 2 people this week that had 9 children.
Really?
How do you survive 9 children?
I don't know, because that's got to be kind of a strain, I would think, financially.
A strain? I mean, you don't even know how many there are, what their names are, probably. You're probably calling them by the wrong name. You've got to take them all to the barber shop if it's boys. And, you know, now, several years ago, there was an attorney from Chicago moved to Dallas. He had 13 children.
Wow.
And, of course, they had a nanny, but that wasn't even enough. He said with 13 children, each child has to take a basket out of the laundry room and go and put it away. I mean, they just have to go marching up and down the stairs to get all the laundry done. He said, without the children's help, the nanny's help, you cannot do it. You can't survive, he said.
Oh, no, you'd get buried alive in there.
He would be buried alive. And I think the house they bought had 6 I think it had 6 bedrooms.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine. I mean, to go to church, you've got to take 2 cars, 2 vans, you know.
Yeah.
Everything you do, you've got to take 2 of something.
Yeah. You go buy them clothes for, like, back to school, you buy one a pair of pants, and all of a sudden you've got to buy 13 pairs of pants.
Yeah, how do you afford them?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you afford them. Of course, all of them wear handy-downs, hand-me-downs, you know that.
Yeah.
They've got to wear hand-me-downs. And some of them probably think they've never seen a new pair of pants.
No, if they're not first or the oldest, they probably never have.
That's right. The oldest one gets the new things. And, you've got to wear the other person's socks, shoes, everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough.
I couldn't even imagine that.
I can't either. And what if you had to polish all the shoes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. You'd have them in tennis shoes, probably even at church. I don't think you could afford to have them that many different pairs. I don't know.
Well, somebody would have to be awfully wealthy to afford 13 children.
Well, I know this lawyer did make a lot of money, so I know they were able to do things other people couldn't. And I know they did have 2 vans. Yeah.
Then you need to just go buy a school bus.
Yeah, now that's what he should have done, just bought a school bus and put them all in it, and wherever they need to go, just drop each one off. And if they didn't all go to the same school, you'd be in deep trouble, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But life is so fun, you know. I can't imagine.
Well, I'm sure that's it's a bundle of joy, just a rather expensive bundle of joy.
It is a bundle of joy, and I mean, they're all very unique and a lot of fun. But I would not want to be the cook at night.
Oh, I didn't even think about the groceries.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
I'd have to have it all, I'd just have to have it sent to the house.
You'd have to have an army of chefs in the kitchen to feed the family.
Yeah, I mean, to feed that many, you know, you'd start cooking at noon. For the evening meal, probably.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to Grandma's house on Sunday, where everybody, you know, shows up.
Yeah, and Grandma could do it. She's the only one who knew how to do all that. But I was amazed when this guy said this week at the barbershop that he had 9 children.
Wow, it's a blessing, but boy, howdy, that's a lot.
I know, I kept looking at him thinking, do you really have 9 children, Joe? How did you do it, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, it was interesting.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, is a life settlement a good strategy for not only your own retirement, but could it also be used as like a kid's college fund?
Well, yes. Now, if they have a college fund and they're coming out of college, and I've got several parents that have done this. They went in business with their children, formed a corporation. They fixed it because they had already set money aside for their children. They took money out of that, put with their money, and formed a corporation, and then they put in there. They can invest, they can do lots of things, but until they're like 30, they cannot take the money out.
Wow.
You know, they can't get some wild idea and say, well, I'll just go buy a house or I'll buy a new car. You know, no, it's not for that. They've got to use it just for retirement.
So they actually turned it into a business venture.
Yes, they did, and that's a wise thing. When you have young people, to teach them how to do business and not screw it off and lose it.
Yeah, really. Because I think so many young people, they all of a sudden find themselves in a situation where they have some money, or they have access to money, or even like your first credit card. A lot of people just, they don't understand, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to be responsible for this. They get that credit card, they think it's free money, they just go out and blow it, and then before you know it, you've got all those interest charges you've got to pay, you've got all the money you've got to pay back, and you're in over your head. So if people can learn before they get to that situation, how much money works, how to save it, how to grow it, it would end up saving a whole lot of headaches and a whole lot of money in the long run.
Well, that's exactly right. So you've got to do it and teach them young not to go out and just blow their money on things they don't need, they don't really want, they just think they do. And especially if they get this big debt, the parents are going to have to make them pay it, and they may have to help them. That's going to make the parent very unhappy.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to be happy about that.
Mm-mm.
Because it is not right.
Mm-mm. No, that's not good for anybody. So
no, it's not.
We're talking about the minimum for a life settlement investment is $100,000, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're talking about different ways to come up with that money. We're looking at your assets. You know, you're looking at 401k, rental property, things like that. What if, and I know we've talked about this before, it's just been a long time, what if somebody's thinking, well, gosh, I'll just go, let me go take out a loan, I'll borrow $20,000.
No, I don't want them to do that. If they don't already have the money, I don't want them to do it. You know, we want them to have extra money, I want them to have emergency money, I want them to be accredited when they come to us. I want them to walk in and say, yes, I have $100,000. I have emergency money. I have other monies. I have other assets. And if they don't say that, they're going to have to do something. They can do it pretty and not borrow a dime.
So there are plenty of options. There's just other things
that
people can do. But this type of investment is not for everybody. This is for a person who has money, who has different assets like we talked about. They've got different forms of making money. There's a lot of things going on. This is just growing what you already have. This is not a starting point. This is after you're established kind of an investment.
That's exactly right. So, you know, if you're just getting started, this is probably not for you, unless you've got backing. You know, if you've got a mother and father says, yes, we'll back your play, we'll put up the money, that's okay. If they're coming in it with you. But otherwise, you've got to start with annuities.
Okay. And that's
because you're just not going to have the wherewithal and the assets to do this.
But the point is to get started with it. So even if somebody has to start with an annuity and then build up their wealth that way and then move over to a life settlement, at least they're getting started. At least they're doing something to start planning for retirement, and that's what's important.
That's right. If they're trying, if they're, you know, working on something, they'll start with an annuity. It's safe. You can grow your money. It's going to make 6-8% probably. And, you know, they've been around, as I said, a long, long time. And a lot of people start with them. A lot of people, at the end, they do annuities. They don't want any risk. I mean, not even 1%. And they will do an annuity, okay?
Okay. So it works. It just depends on what is right for each individual investor.
That's right. And everybody's different. Everybody's got a different scenario. And a lot of times people inherit money. We have a lot of people come to us. They've inherited an IRA for their mother or their father. So we set up this IRA. It's called an inherited IRA.
Oh.
Yeah, inherited IRA. So we do that all the time.
Okay.
Because lots of parents die, and that's what they leave them.
The point is that there's a number of options. You've just got to get started. So, you know, whatever the situation is, you know, you may think you want to do this, but maybe as you learn more, you want to do something else, and you know, maybe a different type of investment would fit better, but get started. So for people who are just now to that point where, gosh, you know, you're right. I've got to listen to Faye. I've got to really start doing something. Before they come see you next week for the first time, what should they do today?
They should look at all their assets. Look at what they've got. Look at how much cash they've got available. And then come see us after they've got everything together.
So gather your information. Go in, get some information for you. Sit down, talk. Bring your wife, bring your husband if you want to, or just come in for some basic information. Go home, think about it. You know, there's a number of options. You don't have to, you're not obligated to anything the minute you walk in the door, but the point is get started. Well, I don't think we can emphasize that enough. Get started. And you have availability for appointments this coming week, right?
I do.
Excellent.
And, you know, they just need to call ahead, make that appointment, okay?
And so one last time, Faye, your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.